Welcome to Bible and Stuff, a podcast about the Bible
and stuff.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Tanner.
And today we are talking about Lectio Divina.
I guess that's how we're going to say it the whole time.
Sorry. Actually, it should be. I just felt like it was a Hermione Granger way of saying it.
Like there was a wand motion associated with that when you...
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so Lectio Divina, which is Latin, and we're going to continue to say it that way. It may be improper. I've heard it a few different ways, but I've actually heard quite a few people say it this way, so we're either all wrong or, or what? I don't know. That was
or we're all wrong.
Or we're all wrong. But I don't speak Latin. Some people say Lectio Divina. Some people say Lectio Divina. But we're going to say Lectio Divina because I'm from Southern Oklahoma.
I like it. It's good stuff. But hey, you know what else is really exciting?
What?
We're going to have some guests on the show today.
We are.
I'm stoked about this.
We haven't up to this point done it super often, and it's so much fun every time we do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually funny. A lot of what we wanted to talk through with them lines up with Lectio Divina and what we're going to learn about today. But yeah, you knew these, you had met Garrett. Explain how you knew them.
Yeah, I got connected with Garrett through some of the other work I do, like web design stuff. And once I found out about this product that they're making these journals, which we'll explain more about later, but I just got really excited about the idea, and I thought, as you said, we already knew we were going to talk about Lectio Divina. It's like, it seems like these tie together really well. We should talk with Garrett and one of the members of his team there that had a big part in making what they've made, Audrey, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be super exciting.
Yeah, they're good people. I'm excited about this. This is going to be good. But yeah, Lectio Divina. Let's give me a little background on this, Tanner.
Well, I'm going to try. It is Latin, as I said, and it just means divine reading. So we're talking about reading the Bible. Like, sorry it took us that long to get past the Latin and into what we're really talking about. But we're talking about reading the Bible. And so Lectio Divina is this practice of reading scripture, meditating on it, and praying through it as a way to interact with God, commune with God, and grow in our knowledge of Scripture.
Yeah, so it seems like it's this really old practice, and I think just hearing it, I'm like, what the heck is that? I've never heard of this before. But it seems like almost, I don't want to say a common practice, it's a well-suited practice for people who actually want to dig into their word further.
Yeah. It's really simple, which is great, and it's kind of evolved throughout the years, which we're going to talk about the history of it in just a second, but you can kind of boil it down to four steps. I already said some of them, but if we're just going to bullet point it out, it's read. So you read the scripture. Often in this practice, you're rereading the scripture. You're reading through a passage multiple times, and then you're meditating on it. So you're stopping, you're thinking, what does this passage mean? What did it mean to the original audience? What does it mean to me now? What does it mean to all people of all time? You're just thinking through all those things. And then you're praying through it. So read, meditate, pray. God, what would you have for me in this passage? Holy Spirit, work through me to help me understand this passage. You're really putting your heart into the word and starting to interact with it in that way. And then the last step is contemplating. So when I first started reading this, I'm like, okay, you meditate and then you contemplate. I'm not sure what the difference is. But as we said, meditating is more thinking it through, and contemplating is just this silent prayerfulness of you being present with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work and do what he does to help you understand what God would have for you from the reading that you're doing.
Yeah, I hear you say these four kind of steps or process to Lectio Divina, And I think, man, that is really solid. And then I look back and I'm like, all right, so when I read the Bible, what do I do? And I'm usually like 2 out of those 4, if I'm lucky. It's like, okay, well, reading is definitely going to take place. And then maybe I'll meditate, maybe I'll pray, maybe I'll contemplate, but it's never all of those things together.
Yeah, I mean, it seems so simple to just make it 4 steps that you always do. But it's one of those things, like, if you don't go into your Bible reading with a plan, you're just going to kind of haphazardly work your way through it. Sometimes maybe you pray before, sometimes maybe you pray after, sometimes you read the passage through once, sometimes you're like, ah, I need to take another pass at that. You know, we just do it a million different ways, and it's not to say there isn't value in approaching the Bible in different, that's not to say there isn't value in approaching Scripture in different ways, but the point behind this practice, I think, is the intentionality of going at it and knowing you're going to hit these 4 steps in this order and what you're trying to accomplish by doing that.
Yeah, and we're going to dig in a little bit deeper to each of these to give a little bit more, foresight to what it can look like. So even different ways to do these things. But before we do that, I do kind of want to know, like, the history behind it. Like, where does it come from? I think you said earlier it was a monastic practice. So I'm just curious, what are the origins of it?
Sure. And it's funny that you say origins, because the idea of Lectio Divina goes all the way back to the 3rd century to a guy named Origen.
Shut up.
We really didn't plan that. Like, we have notes sitting in front of us, but I know you weren't even thinking that when you said it, but it made me really happy.
I wasn't. But you know what's really funny? What? Is if I had seen it, I definitely
would have made the pun on purpose. It. Yes, absolutely. So Origen, spelled O-R-I-G-E-N, is this old school cat. He's one of the early church fathers, super smart, and a lot of the stuff we talk about in some way, shape, or form traces its way back to him. So there's a lot Origen has to say that deals with this reading of Scripture. But to try to sum it up, he is really into the fact that not everything in Scripture is going to be apparent to you on your first read through. There's hidden gems and there's hidden meanings, not that God is like playing riddles with us, but there are things that only time and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. And he really pushes into that and says the way you get to that is through a practice like this, through prayer, through meditation, through contemplation of the Word. And so over time, these principles from Origen evolved into what we now refer to as Lectio Divina. It was first established in the 6th century by the Benedict of Nursia, if I'm saying that right. I'm going to say it confidently and move on. And then it became more formalized in the 12th century into what we know now, and it's things that people practice all the time.
I was going to say it's probably a common practice, just the label isn't put on it. Because I feel like I've seen this practice before, but I never knew that it came from this idea of Lectio Divina.
Yeah, I think it probably depends on your church background. If you're in a more traditional, formal kind of organization, that they're probably more likely to use Latin terms, whereas if you're in a more maybe non-denominational, mainstream kind of setting, they're probably saying these same kinds of things, but yeah, maybe not in the exact same words. So whatever you call it, I'm not sure matters, but it's worth taking the time to look a little bit further at each of these steps and seeing how we may use them in our daily Bible reading.
For sure. Actually, let's just go ahead and do it. I mean, We have a layout of what these different steps are. Now let's see, dig a little bit deeper, see what it looks like for each.
Sure. So I'll actually start not with reading, which is the first step, but instead preparation. So in the more formal practices of Lectio Divina, this is something that's really recommended. Like, prepare yourself. Like, take deep breaths, get in the right state of mind and just be still and quiet and kind of settle in, as we might say, to what you're about to do. I don't think this is a practice that works well with busyness or trying to like squeeze in a few verses on the bus.
It's got
to
be planned.
Or whatever. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things, but that's not this. And so this kind of requires that slowing down as you get into reading scripture. And so moving on to that, we said earlier, like, this is a slow reading of scripture. This isn't trying to cram as much as you can, but it's making sure you're catching all the things that the author is trying to say. It may be reading it multiple times to make sure you're not missing anything and that you're understanding the points that are being laid out or the story that's being told.
And this idea of preparation that you're talking about, again, while it's not like laid out in Lectio Divina, it is biblical, like preparing yourself. You had pulled a verse here from Psalm 46:10, like, be still and know that I am God. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that have that kind of understanding of like, calm yourself, like before going into something that God has called us to do.
Yeah, and the reason it's so important is not only is the first step a slow reading of the Bible, but then you move into a second step, which is meditating on what you've just read. And that's not something that you're going to be able to do if you aren't resting in the stillness of God. And so this is really where Lectio Divina starts to become its own thing, because it's less about just reading the Bible and more about listening to the Holy Spirit as you work your way through Scripture. It's not just about trying to make it through however much you can make it through in a set period of time, but it's about giving space and time for the Holy Spirit to work and start to reveal things to you that you wouldn't have caught on your first read through.
Honestly, I think can be a very, this may sound funny, but like an intimidating thing for people to just put their trust that the Holy Spirit is going to speak. I don't know. I feel like it can be difficult sometimes to just sit in silence. I don't know if it's boredom or if it's like fear that something's not going to happen. But a lot of times I'll sit in silence and just be like, well, what's going on? Like, is anything going to come to me? And maybe it's a lack of preparation. But then there are other times where I do feel really focused and feel like the Holy Spirit is talking to me. But I think that's probably one of the most intimidating thing for me, at least as a Christian.
Yeah. And thankfully the next step that we get to talk about is prayer. So if you're working on the meditation, trying to understand what this passage is saying, seeing how maybe it applies to you and you're having a hard time, you can just stop and pray, ask for God's help, ask for what is popping out to you, for God to, maybe it's a blessing that you hope to be included in by God. Maybe it's something you realize you need to work on, that you're asking God for the strength to get through that. Maybe it could be a million things, but this is your time to just talk with God and to ask whatever you may need.
Yeah, so that brings us through. All right, so we've prepared to enter into this time. We read our scripture, we're meditating on it, and we pray over it. But then we have this idea of contemplation. So this, I'm curious to see like how you would define that or kind of break it down for what the practice might look like.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, this whole practice is just about spending time with God. Like, we say that a lot, but this is what it actually looks like. Like, if you and I were going to spend time together, Glenn, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to listen while you talk to me, and that's a lot of what Lectio Divina is. We're reading God's word, which is kind of the way he's talking to us. We're praying back to him, which is us talking to him, and then contemplation is I think there's a couple of ways you can understand it. At the very least, it's just this posture of silent prayerfulness. I think I've already said that, but that's the best words I have for it, of just giving space for God to continue to speak to you through the passage, to open up things that you wouldn't find on your own. And then it's also just this vulnerability, I think. It's putting yourself in this place of rest and dependence on God, and not worrying about the awkward silence, but just being there with him. And I had one guy that I listened to some talk about this practice. I really liked the way he explained contemplation. He's like, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Like, just sit there in that silent prayerfulness. And sometimes God reveals things to you, and sometimes he doesn't, and that's okay. So it's not that every time you stop and contemplate, you're going to come up with this huge revelation, but it's giving space to allow those things to happen and being vulnerable with God so that he might act however he sees fit.
Yeah. I think that's another, maybe this is more the area that I'm thinking that I've struggled with in the past. It's just this idea of sitting in it. And like, you know what, if I'm not, like you're saying, you're not always going to get something. And struggling with that fear of like, am I broken? Like, am I not communicating with God properly? Like, what's going on here? And no, sometimes it's timing, you know? I feel like there have been situations where I've sat in something and been like, well, I guess I'm not hearing from God about this today. And then something will happen later in the day, and it's like, oh my gosh, this all lines up now. Like, I see it. So it can come when you don't expect it too. But I think that time that you sit there and contemplate it is part of that process too.
Yeah. I mean, it's, as you said, it's the part we're the most uncomfortable with probably, but I think that's why this is a helpful practice, because it pushes you out of your comfort zone of just reading, at least for me, just reading and then like coming away with some like knowledge bomb I can maybe drop on somebody else, or at the very least just like checking the box. And that, you know, reaffirms in me the like, I achieved something today that I probably have an unhealthy reliance on. But I'm not great at just setting and being present and allowing God to do his thing. And that's probably a place that not just you and me as people need to be pushed, but like us as a society need to be stretched and grow. And so I'm almost hesitant to mention that a modern addition to this four-step process is a fifth step of action. And the reason I'm hesitant to mention it is because I think often we skip to action too fast. And so I don't want to give you the fifth step of action as a cop-out when contemplation feels awkward, to be like, well, yeah, but what am I supposed to do?
Yeah,
because you may not be supposed to do anything, and that may be the point. But at the end of the day, we know that reading the Bible and meditating on the Bible is kind of pointless if it doesn't affect who we are and how we act. So
yeah,
I don't say action necessarily to just give you a to-do list that you can check off and feel good about. I say action to think deeply about how what you have read should change you as a person, as a human being, not just in one thing that you're going to do later that day. Maybe it starts there, but it should be something that is a lifelong impact on you.
You know, as we're talking through this last portion of it, I'm just thinking about, you were saying sometimes we just read to like check off a box, like feel like you've achieved something. And I feel like every year I'm like, man, this year I'm going to read through the whole Bible in a year, or I'm going to spend every day reading, you know, one book and one commentary and all, like just these different things. And it becomes just that I've achieved something, yet I rarely take something significant away. And I think this concept is what's going to help break through that. Because you're taking the time to actually process and meditate on it. And it's not just reading. It's time with God, which I think a lot of us just lack so much. I don't know. This has been good, but I think this is also going to be very helpful. Like we said earlier on, we have guests coming on the show today, and they have these journals that I think are like a perfect blend of what we just talked about and scripture itself. I don't want to give too much away is what I'm trying to be.
Yeah, I mean, so this is something we almost never get to do, but today we do get this special treat of like talking about something and then actually pointing you towards a tool that can help you do it. So,
yeah,
like Lynn said, we won't peel back the curtain just yet, but we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we get to bring on our friends from Discover Sola and talk to them about Lectio Divina and how what they've done might actually help you apply it to your life.
Okay, welcome back. As I said before the break, we have some guests on the show with us today. We're really excited. We have Audrey and Garrett joining us today from Sola. We're really excited to have you guys on the show today and kind of talk about what you do and what your company's all about.
Yeah, well, guys, thanks for having us. We're fans. Audrey and I were talking beforehand. We're excited to just at least share about one what we do, and I think it's also I think just fits into what you guys are talking about with Lectio Divina. Of what's fun is finding people that are like minded in the sense of they love the Word of God and they believe that it's valuable. And there's that word valuable is a large word, goes a lot of different ways. But we're excited. I'm excited to be here. Audrey, can't speak for you, but I'm pretty sure you're excited.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So we're going to kind of talk through a little bit of what Sola is, specifically Sola Journals. But if you guys, maybe each of you, we'll kind of see how your thoughts combine, or you can take turns talking. But if you could give like a 1 to 2 sentence explanation of what Sola Journals is, how would you describe it to people listening?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And, you know, I told Audrey earlier, it's hard for me to do anything in 1 to 2 sentences, but that's okay. So I'm going to try and we'll see how well I do. I think really, if we could describe Discover Sola one way, it would be that our hope is that people would see the value of the Word of God alone, and that we would hope that people could be transformed by Scripture alone. That's a pretty broad statement, but we believe that when the primary source of the Bible is the focus, that God can move. It's a noisy world. And in the midst of a noisy world, we believe the loudest voice and primary source should be God's words. And we think that Sola Journals gives people the ability to do that and to do that well. So that's what gets us excited about what we're doing at Discover Sola.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That sounds great. And y'all are going to laugh at me because literally right before we started this, we said we wouldn't talk about politics. But bear with me here. Bear with me. I like that you say that. Like, let's make the primary source the Bible, because we are not only in a noisy world, but we're in a world where before we even get to hear the thing, we hear what people have to say about the thing. And so I think you see that a lot in politics, but you also see it in the Bible. Often the entry level is not, hey, read your Bible, but you're being bombarded with someone telling you what this part of the Bible means or how you should live your life. And they kind of say it's based on the Bible, but they don't always put it right there in front of you. So it is good to kind of go back to that first-hand account, that first-hand resource, and see it for yourself.
I think we've even talked about it on the podcast before that like commentaries can be great. They have their place in everything. But having scripture alone is that's the forefront. That's what's important.
I think that's Garrett and my heart behind just the need for this product is that there are so many excellent secondary source materials, if you will, on the market today. And those things can be great and helpful. We need commentaries. We need podcasts of pastors teaching God's word. But I think what inadvertently happens is often we rely more on the secondary sources than the primary source. in our attempt to learn more about the primary source, you know? And so I think our hope is that with this journaling Bible study product, people can gain confidence that that gap between the expert and the amateur can decrease, and so that people can rely less and less on secondary and build skills within themselves to recognize, oh, that's a pattern between this verse and this verse, or wow, there actually is this golden thread of this topic throughout all of Scripture. And that encourages people to keep going back and searching for themselves to find truth that we all need.
Yeah.
And it's not a, and it's not just a, and again, we keep using the word primary source, but when we say primary source, we mean where God is found, right? Like it's easy to look at the Bible, and a lot of times the academic community can make it feel like that primary source builds up our knowledge. And our hope is not more knowledge. That's Gnosticism. Like our hope is that, that it would create a palette for people to enjoy God more. When they enjoy God more, that leads to righteousness and that leads to holiness. And we believe that when God is at the forefront through his words, it's the best place to do that. So we just want to provide a space to people to do that. When they meditate on his words, not what someone else says about his words, if the Holy Spirit is truly in you, God promises that he's going to move. So we're going all in and betting that God's going to do what he promises when we open this Bible up. Right. And
yeah.
And
yeah.
We believe that it's enough. So
that's so
great, man. Yeah. I mean, everything y'all are saying is stuff we believe in wholeheartedly. I mean, I feel like we say it all the time on this podcast, but I also feel like we can't say it enough that like half of the reason we're doing this, which is like, we do commentary on things we think you should know about the Bible or history or theology, and stuff. But the whole point is that we might encourage people to go look for themselves. So that touched on what we talked about. But then Garrett, I think you took it further, and I think you took it the right way, which is the whole point of that is to roll up into this deeper relationship with God, this closer reliance on the Lord, and yeah, just ultimately loving Jesus more at the end of whatever you're reading or studying or digging into. So I know that we've talked about Sola journals and Discover Sola on a larger scale broadly, but give me the quick lowdown on like, what is, like, if I buy this thing, what am I going to hold in my hand? What does it look like? How does it work?
Yeah, great question. Well, we built these products in a way that we think that they're beautifully made. We spent a lot of time with our friends over at Keenly, which Tanner, you work with the Keenly team a lot, so this is kind of our connection of building a product that we think people are going to be proud to look at. So we really were inspired by those old looking novels, those antique looking novels. So, you know, you think about the C.S. Lewis books like Screwtape Letters and Mere Christianity, with those old paperbacks, the font is antique looking and they feel keepsakey. That's kind of the design of our product. So when you're holding in your hand, it's not just a journal. It feels and looks like an old antique looking novel, which we love because we believe that the story of the Bible has a lot to say. But then as you open it up, what you'll realize is it's something that you get to interact with. It's something that is for both the heavy journaler, the person that loves to verbally process with their hand, but then also the study bug, the person that loves to actually take apart verse by verse the Bible. So we believe we've created the space for really everybody across the theological landscape to play.
Yeah, I think unfortunately what's become really popular, Tanner, you kind of touched on this at the beginning, is people want to pick a camp and are very much opposed to the opposite camp immediately. I mean, it's just really common even in the church and even in theological circles for it to be just as divisive. And so when people find out sometimes like, oh, you know, this pastor wrote this or this author belongs to this denomination, then they cancel them and they want nothing to do with the book they published or the podcast they're hosting, et cetera. But with God's word, none of that can happen because, again, there's no outside voice. You're not hearing Garrett or my opinion on what the Bible says about grace. We're just showing you what the Bible says about grace with God's word alone. And so that's helpful. That helps decrease my pride. And I think is the most helpful for, you know, the new believer to the experienced elderly believer, you know? Yeah. So we think a product like this takes out the drama, if you will, and just allows people to read God's word and see what does it say.
So yeah, for the topical person, right, that loves, I want topical teaching, or the person, I want exegetical teaching. Guess what? They both use the primary source of the Bible. And we go, hey, both of you can come play and experience God through scripture alone. And we want anyone to come and do that. When the Bible is highlighted, everyone's going to agree because it's just the Bible, right? And they might interpret it differently, but at the end of the day, you can't debate that this is what it says. And we get to go, hey, you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you sit and you interpret the way God is showing you. And we just trust that God will highlight that when his word's there and nothing else. So,
yeah. And we've kind of mentioned this a couple of times now, just in the conversations we're having, but sola, where does the name come from? Like why that for the name?
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, when you say that word immediately, just because of the polarization of culture, people go, oh, they must be Reformed.
You're Reformed, right?
Love, yeah. Martin Luther. Yeah, exactly. And also now, sadly, in this world today of polarization, anytime someone puts a label on anything, I have to go, well, what do you mean by that? Because the word Reformed means a lot to different people, just like the word Baptist means a lot to different people, just like the word, any word is depends on the person's context and their definition of it now. Sure. In this postmodern world. So I would say the word sola comes from, comes from the five solas that Martin Luther, it was really, and that's the birth of Protestantism outside of the Catholic Church, in which anyone who is not Catholic goes, man, I love the word of God. Like sola just comes from the idea of sola scriptura, sola scriptura, which simply just means scripture alone. And we believe that you can be transformed by scripture alone because scripture promises that. It says that you can be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And as you transform by the renewal of your mind, as it says in Romans, then your heart starts to change. And as you understand or believe more, your identity or your beliefs or your motivations and desires change. And as your desires change, then your actions change accordingly as well. So we again, like we keep saying, we're going all in on being transformed by scripture alone. So
for sure. And so as it sets right now, I think you have three journals that are out there and ready. And as Audrey talked about earlier, they're all tracing a thread that goes throughout the Bible. So why don't you tell us what those three are and kind of what led you to picking those topics?
Yeah, we chose topics that we felt like combined felt needs plus what scripture talks about. And we also kind of felt like it was important to choose these topics, or the journals that we have published now are a grace journal, a peace journal, and a water journal. And so I think especially if you've grown up in the church or been around Christians who use Christianese, you might think you know what grace means, but it might be different than what the Bible says about grace. So we chose topics that might fall into that category as well, where people think, maybe we know this just because we're around this culture, but in reality, the Bible says something maybe deeper and maybe wider than you anticipated. So we're excited. We think that people who purchase them will be grown and challenged in their definition of grace or peace, or even the meaning and the purpose of water in the Bible will grow as a result of using them.
Yeah, we try to reach a wide audience there too. I think my day job is I work for a company called Givingtons, and we work with a lot of content creators in the Christian space, help them create content. We help them write content. We help them distribute content through a lot of different mediums. So I have an interesting bird's eye view of what Christians are consuming. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is, and Audrey mentioned it, is Christians are buying content that are all based on felt needs. People are wanting to understand how God views their felt needs. And you got a lot of people speaking about those felt needs and you know, voices that we love and need about, hey, this is what God says about these felt needs, like peace. And, you know, what's interesting enough is by and large, more than any one of our other journals, our best sold product is the Peace Journal. And a lot of that's not shocking with 2020 and the never ending year of chaos. And
tell me about
people are wondering, man, what does God say about where do I find peace? And it's easy to, you know, quote, there's a God, the peace that surpasses understanding. But that's one verse across probably 600 to 700 different verses that either specifically speak about the peace that comes from God or words that in the original Greek or in the original Hebrew were referencing the peace of God as well, that we wanted people to see that God has a lot to say about those things that actually give them more confidence in primarily who God is, right? Like that's the goal. Like when they see these things, it builds a confidence in them that God is who he said he was and then some. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think, like you said, 2020 of all years is the year where we want to read what the Bible has to say about peace. And grace is always kind of poignant, I think, in the Christian life, because we know mm-hmm. we're sinners and we know we have to have grace. But both the one that throws me off and the one that made me instantly know I was going to like you guys is water, because that yeah. kind of brings that, oh, now we're getting a little Bible nerdy. And starting to pull out something that maybe people wouldn't have immediately jumped to.
Oh, Bible nerdy? That's Audrey. If you want Bible nerdy, that's Audrey.
So, okay, Audrey, tell us about water.
Yeah, so I think, honestly, the idea for this journal came from one of my seminary classes I took at the time of creating it. And my professor was walking through the biblical theology of water. And I was kind of on the edge of my seat too, because I thought, okay, like I could probably see where he's going. Like I know in Genesis 1 in creation, there will be some water references. And then I know, oh, the flood, there'll probably be some water references there. And I could imagine some, you know, even into the New Testament, oh, with baptism, I wonder how he's going to connect those dots. And I was just floored, because not only is it amazing to see God's creativity in God's mm-hmm. purpose in a theme going from Genesis to Revelation, an arc, if you will, ARC. But also what
I appreciate that you clarified that while talking about water too.
Right. Yeah. Everything in me went to point out the pun, and I was like, no, don't do it. but yeah, not only the theme, but also water teaches us about God's character. And mm-hmm. you'll see that in the Solo Journal, which I was surprised to learn. And after that seminary class, I went a little further than my professor did. And I was like, no, what do all the verses say though? What are some more threads that we can find? And so what are some other patterns that point to not only who God is, but how does God use water in the Bible? Because he uses it several different ways. And it's usually has a spiritual meaning and a deeper purpose. And so mm-hmm. we hope that journal will intrigue people again to see that God's word is beautiful and complex yet simple and digestible, but in his creativity and in the story that he's written, there are truths about himself and truths that comfort us in our lives today.
Yeah, Audrey like came to me, like we need to do one on water, and I mean, it was like, yeah, that's lame. No, but then she like. She started walking me through it, and I was like, I literally was like, oh, that's cool, but still no, Audrey. Then literally like a week later, I was the exact same thing. I started thinking about it more. It was like, wait, it is through all of scripture. This idea of it's the same narrative of God taking chaos, a word that throughout the entire Old Testament is used for chaos, calamity, destruction, and uses that to bring in new creation, living water. And it blew my mind. And that study, the purpose of that study, Tanner, is exact for people just like you to go, yeah, peace, whatever. I know that. Yeah, grace. But wait, hold on. Water? All right, fine. I'll get it. So it's been, it's actually been really fun to see even people that have purchased water to like interact with some of our customers on that side of like, of them going, man, they're, how many topics are there out there like that? And that's what's been really fun as we start exploring future topics of that. You know, we use the analogy at Discover Sola of, we believe God's word to be a tapestry. And it comes from the verse Ephesians 3:10. It says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to all rulers and authorities in heaven. And that word manifold is a Greek word. And we're going to talk about Bible nerds. We'll get really geeky here for a second. I'm not going to pronounce it because I don't have a seminary degree like Audrey, but,
she can correct you, I guess.
But that word manifold is the only time that Greek word is used in the Bible. And it's really referring to multifaceted, and it's referring to like a king's robe that it's been sewn with multiple colors that paint a beautiful picture. So it's, you know, it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God made known, and the church's primary way to know what to do is the word of God. And we love that picture of that God's word is a tapestry. There are small threads, thread by thread, pattern by pattern. As you dig into it, you see the beautiful threads. And then as you zoom out a little bit, you actually see a pattern. And as you zoom out even more, you see the whole picture. And that's really the curation process that Audrey kind of has kind of spearheaded for us as being kind of our chief curator of how we build this arc. We call it the arc of scripture, as Audrey so kindly spelled for us, A-R-C, not A-R-K. How the arc of scripture shows the movement of God that when you finish your Sola journal, you can step back and go, I have a full picture of the beautiful, creative, wonderful tapestry of God's word when it comes to grace. I have a not complete understanding of grace, not possible, but I have a fuller understanding of grace, which if you have a fuller understanding of grace, you have a deeper love for God. Like it's just, it's going to happen. And we believe that.
Yeah, I got chills. So
come on, bro.
I was, you know, looking through the books, and when Tanner was first telling me about you guys, and I was like, man, I wonder which I would read first if I was gonna pick them. And I kept leaning towards Peace, but now I'm like, oh, I'm all fired up for Water. I want to know.
There you go. There you go.
So you mentioned something while you were just talking about the future of what you guys are doing. Do you have other journals in mind or that you're planning to work out?
Yeah. Great question. I think Audrey and I are constantly texting and talking about what the next one is. We have a list of 50, you know, but so that's what's so great is there's a never ending amount of things and themes and patterns that we can highlight, some smaller and some larger. So really, I think like topics that we'll probably lean more into in 2021 are going to be some more felt needs, because we believe that we can, and when I say we, I mean, God's word can speak into those things. You know, we've talked about literally simple felt needs like love. One of the most used words in the Bible that is also the most abused words in the Bible. Hmm. We also love the idea of, you know, creating a journal about justice, about what does God say about justice? But then, I mean, when it comes to the water idea, there's a plethora of themes. Audrey, talk about some. I mean, I know you've brought up a couple of them that we just get pretty excited about.
You guys can't see her, but her face just lit up. Lisa, can you tell us a little bit?
Well, I wasn't sure. I didn't know if we could reveal one. I think I've mentioned this like subtly and not so subtly to Garrett multiple times, but I think we should do a blood journal very quickly. Because I think not only would that equip Christians to understand the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, I think it would grow their love for the Old Testament. I think people would begin to see maybe the first time how significant Jesus's life, death, and resurrection was, all the things. I'll hold back for now. But things like blood, I think we've talked about, you know, I think blood is just like on my radar so much. I'm like, yeah,
talk about fire. We've talked about fire.
Fire.
When you talk about stone or cornerstone or rock,
yeah,
you know, pretty much you're trying to do all Settlers of Catan, just all the different materials of Settlers of Catan, because that's
a whole nother kind of nerd there.
There you go. but I think the idea of being able to, you know, Audrey, you said something that we talk about all the time as well, that we constantly hear. And, you know, I did college and young adult ministry for years. Audrey just got out of, you know, college and high school ministry that she was doing for a long time, now that she's in seminary. And the constant question over and over again is, how do I reconcile God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament, right? And that's what's so great about these Sola journals, is we're pairing a verse in Isaiah next to Jesus's literal words in Matthew.
Yeah.
And it's saying the same thing, right? Or you're seeing God talk about his character being slow to anger, abounding in love when he's with Moses on the mountain. And then right next to that verse is Jesus speaking about his heart being gentle and lowly, right next to it. So people get to see not just the connection to Old and New Testament, but that God didn't change. It's not like God all of a sudden went, oh, plan A didn't work, let's pivot to plan B, send Jesus. But actually, it's always been the play, and his character has always been the same. How he's interacted with the world matters in the midst of where we're at in redemptive history. But these journals highlight a consistency of who God is.
That's which awesome.
I can't think of a more important thing for people to see in the midst of the ever-changing chaos of today, right? But we have a ever-consistent God.
Yeah.
So that's what gets me fired up.
I was going to say, we've talked about this a few times on the show, but I think that is just a huge misconception that new believers, or even Christians who have been Christians for a while, just struggle with, that like the focus always tends to drift towards the New Testament. And like the Old Testament is, it's old news now that Jesus is here. Like, no, it's one story. It has that arc that you're talking about. That's huge. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. And I think, like you're saying, being able to, having probably started in the New Testament, like a lot of people do, being able to now see how that's actually a fulfillment of something that's been mm-hmm. happening all these years throughout mm-hmm. all of history in the Old Testament, that's where it really starts to get fun. Like Glenn and I say that all the time. Like that's really, really gets my blood pumping of like, oh, this is coming from here and this ties into this. And that's where I think you can really get excited and build a passion for reading the Bible, regardless of where you're at, Old Testament, New Testament. You start to see that bigger picture, you know, like just like you were talking about, that tapestry of being able to see it at these different levels. That's when it gets really exciting.
So we've talked a lot about just the different topics that you guys are covering in these three that you've created. We've talked about the beauty that you've put into it, making it something that feels good to hold. It's nice to look at. Like, it kind of gets you excited about scripture, which seems sad to say, but I think a lot of times that's the feeling people have, is like they pick up the Bible and they're like, man, this is a hefty book. But I do want to ask, what hope do you have for people to get out of these journals? What's your hope for that?
Yeah, I think we hope that people learn to discover the truth of God's word on their own, that they learn to enjoy God's word because of the skills and of the muscle memory that they've created using these journals, and that on their own, they can use the Bible on their own after using the journal to look for patterns, to look for themes, to look for big arcs, so that they might know God and live in light of who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I mean, I hope that people get the same gift that the Spirit of God gave me in college. I remember I fell in love with the Bible my sophomore year of college, but I constantly went to commentaries. I'd read the commentary first, and then I'd look at the Bible. And mm-hmm. I literally remember the day when my mentor was like, stop reading the commentary, read the Bible, and try and just figure out what it says, and then go check your work on the commentary, right? Like, and I remember the day I was in Romans 1 and I read it and I was like, I think this is what Paul's saying. And then I read it and the commentary, I was like, I did it. Oh my gosh. Like, I understand. Cause it's literally, I was like, oh, you know, and as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, I was like, I can do this as a new believer. I'd only been a Christian for 2 years. I was like, I can do this. And then I started, it started creating a palette and a confidence in me to do the same. So I think Audrey hit the nail on the head. It's two words that I come back to. I want people to be able to discover on their own and enjoy God on their own. And then pass that along to others, right? Like, I want to give people the tool with just God's word that's not intimidating, that's palatable for them to be able to actually, like, to move forward in their relationship with Jesus, fall more in love with Jesus with Jesus's words. Like, I know more about my wife when she tells me about herself. Audrey is one of my wife's close friends. And if I ask Audrey about my wife, I get good things. But if I ask my wife, or I sit with my wife, I hear her voice and I know her more. And I end up loving her more. So I want people to, have that backdrop with God too. So
I love that analogy.
That's great, man. We're just yes and amen this whole time. Like, yeah, it's exactly what you said.
We're all shaking our hands.
Like, yeah. If I had a tambourine right now, I'd be going to town.
You don't see Audrey's handling snakes. You don't see her. She's playing with snakes right now.
But yeah, I mean, you saying, like, having that realization of, like, this is possible, I can do this.
Yeah.
That, I think so many people,
it's encouraging.
Don't experience that early enough. And just that's something we really believe in here. It's just like handing you the keys. And like you said earlier, Garrett, like, you have the Holy Spirit. You have everything you need. If you got the Bible and the Holy Spirit and you just take some time. It may not come immediately, but I mean, that's the whole thing we've been talking about with you guys, and then talking through Lectio Divina of just setting with God and setting with the Word and letting the Holy Spirit work on you. It may be a slow thing, but it's a sure thing. It's gonna happen.
That's good. I'm gonna steal that. Slow thing, but a sure thing.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to let people peek behind the podcast curtain a little bit and say, like, you know, if they listen to a lot of podcasts, they may be like, is this an ad for these things? And I want to say, like, hey, like, Glenn and I aren't getting paid for this. We just really believe in this thing. And so we also thought, you know, it tied in perfectly with what we were talking about this week. And so we really wanted to be able to point people towards a tool that actually is going to help them put this into practice and can really change their habits in a positive way. So that being said, like, let us know where we can find it.
Yeah. Great question. I think probably first place is our website is solajourney.com, S-O-L-A journey.com. And really then also our Instagram page is a great place really just to kind of see what we're trying to accomplish. And really, we believe that that's a great space to almost get a glimpse behind the curtain of these journals when it comes to just the content that we're creating on Instagram. And our Instagram handle is just Discover Sola, at Discover Sola. So solajourney.com and then at Discover Sola on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook as well, because we will be, you know, our hope in 2021 is to be launching a couple more products just to continue to provide people with more tools to discover God by Scripture alone.
As you mentioned 2021, that I've been thinking this through our conversation, and we talked a little bit about it too, but for me, I think I'm going to get a journal for myself and my wife, and this is going to be part of our 2021, like, well, I hate saying I'm making a resolution because I sound so whatever, but I think it will be really good for me to get back to Scripture alone and seeing these arcs that you guys are talking about. So I'm going to do it, but if you're listening and you're intrigued by this, I would encourage you to do it too, because New Year's is coming up. So if you're planning on it, I think this is a great way to go about it.
For sure. We'll put a link in the description for you guys to check out everything Garrett and Audrey and Zach are doing.
There you go.
Over
at Shout out Zach.
Discover Solo. Yeah, guys, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, guys. We appreciate it. So really, really fun.
Bible and Stuff podcast is a production of Bible and Stuff. We do more than just podcasts, so if you want to know more about something we've covered on the show, just visit our website at BibleandStuff.com. Our show is hosted by Tanner Britt and Glenn Brand, and our theme music is by The Sing Team. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.